Okay.
Welcome to our Historic Preservation Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 2nd. We'll start with roll call. I'm Sarah Fox.
I'm Alex Gall.
I'm a new member, Rockini.
And I'm Sean Denniston.
And this is an introduction.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe Sean and Rob and maybe everyone can give a little bit of background on, you know, what you do and how long you've been on here and things like that. So, Sean, why don't you start?
Sure. So, I have an architecture degree from the University of Oregon and a master's in preservation from the University of Pennsylvania. And I have been working primarily in energy efficiency for the last several years. And also, I work for the New Buildings Institute, which is now in Portland, but used to be here in Vancouver. We do energy efficiency in commercial buildings, everything from research to policy. So that's my background.
And why do we all support?
Because
that's the hard question.
I love good buildings, and it just so happens that most of the good buildings are old buildings, which is why I got into preservation to start with. And this seemed like a great way to be involved, especially in the local community, to do both those things, be involved with some good old buildings and to contribute to the community.
So welcome. So Sarah Fox, I guess I'm starting on my second term here. We're from City of Camas. I came up official tonight. City of Camas, Sharon. Been working there for years. Small town, so I do a little bit of everything, including historic preservation, archaeological reviews, that sort of thing. Got interested in this committee because of a former committee member said, Sarah, you can be on it, you should join, apply. That's Derek. And I do enjoy it, and we have a lot of interesting cases, and so I have to stay on. So, a short history.
I'm Alex Gall. I own a small archaeological consulting firm and just moved over here to Officers Row. You can practically see my office from here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right. Really excited about the move. I also joined primarily because of a previous commissioner who suggested that they might enjoy being on it and that they could use an archaeologist to kind of balance out the architectural side. And, learned a lot since I've been on this commission, so liking it. And this is my, I guess, first term that ends in a year.
Yeah.
I'm Rockini. I'm an architect, one of the two principals of Beacon Art Architecture Group in La Center, Washington. And we're a small group, and we have licenses in California, Utah, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, New York, at least for a while. But it's a pretty broad portfolio, but a lot of housing and some multifamily and a little bit of commercial. And, in La Center, helped the Call Foundation with the former hospital, which I know is on the list here. And Sun Grove and some other things. Did some work for Wakayakum and historic preservation. And it's something that's just always been come up, and I like old buildings as well, and they often are the best buildings, and just hope I can contribute some.
I'm John Weicher, I'm in the city of Vancouver, one of the senior planners, and I don't exactly remember how I got there, but I think what happened is one of the people who was working on with this committee before left, and so I've been kind of the staff, anything comes in from the city of Vancouver for review here, I put together this report, bring a sacred presentation. Work closely with Jackie because she knows more of the answers than I
do. I don't know. We found them out together.
Oh.
Hey, Shell.
Beauty.
Hey. How's it going?
Good.
We're just doing introductions, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Shell.
Do a little background on. So Rob and Sean are new.
Okay.
And I may have them quickly give like the cliff notes on their background for you, but why don't you just let them know your background and
Sarah
how long you've been on here?
I was watching all about
Tyson West, Frank Lloyd Wright. They have a great video series from the American Architecture Institute, and I watched them. My background, I have been into preservation for a long time. But my real core is journalism. When I would find a building, and I've done a lot of archaeology, but nothing like this guy, I would take it to my editors, and they would find a way to write a series of stories, and the citizens group would form, and we did this over and over in Portland, and that sort of set the stage for my love of preservation architecture. I'm the one most likely to say something politically incorrect.
So Rob is also, he's an architect as well, joining us first meeting today from Le Center. His firm is in Le Center. He's done a couple, he did a design review. He was the architect for a design review on the Summit Grove Lodge. So I've known him from a few years ago when he worked on that. And then Sean down here, he works for the New Building Institute, and his background in architecture and historic preservation. So I think we've got a great group here to start off this term. So.
We actually voted to expand the commission to bring you gentlemen on board.
Mm-hmm. So welcome. Everyone knows me, Jackie, with Clark County. So I administer the program with help with the city stuff from John and Jan. So I take care of every other city and unincorporated county here. So you know how to get in touch with me, and I want to also introduce Sharon from my office. I'll let her tell you a little bit.
Oh, so I'm a new planner with Clark County Community Planning, about 9 months. Yeah, just kind of tagging along to learn about historic preservation. Great.
Shall we move on, or is there any questions? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure about the budget.
Do you want to do the minutes first?
Minutes.
Get those out of the way.
I had one thing. I think there was an additional guest. I think somebody from Wilson Architects was here.
Oh.
And I should know his name because his son is.
Was it? Were they sitting? The guys that were sitting didn't sign in, so I never got their stuff. Okay.
His last name is Wilson.
Okay.
I might have his card in my other purse.
Okay, and they.
The older guy.
No, he's like my age.
Right.
Ryan Wilson.
Right, and they were here about the barracks, right?
His wife's name is Lynn. His name is Gino.
His dad's name is Larry. His dad's name is Larry.
Larry, yeah.
Okay, I'll
add
that.
That's
yeah.
I'll add that to it.
Okay.
Anyone
know? He was part of the Academy presentation.
Okay, that's right.
Well, we only had two of the three members that were at the meeting the minutes.
Okay.
I was suggesting earlier to Alex that we hold off on the minutes
sure.
until next meeting.
Yep.
So at least all three of them could vote on it.
No problem.
Well, no rush on approving the minutes either, I don't think, so.
That's fine.
Unless you guys want to make any other changes to what
we can make. I didn't see anything else.
I haven't really had a chance to.
Okay. Well, now you got another month.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's see. Next month is normal, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's the day after Labor Day. Or is everyone, do you know if you're here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know, what's that, the 6th or something? It's a late
it's
Labor
strange.
Day.
Strange, yeah.
Let's see.
We only have one number. We get 4 times for the password.
It's the 6th.
So we are meeting on the 6th?
Yes, unless we don't have a quorum. Okay. Okay. All right, so we'll just get right into it. I don't foresee this being a long meeting, and we don't have any cases to review, but I still wanted to kind of get together, especially since we have two new members, to kind of just introduce each other, because, you know, who knows what September may bring. We might have a really full agenda where we can't really get into some of these details about budget. Jan and I talked to Sarah and Rob in between the June meeting and what we thought we might have a July meeting or not, about if we needed to make a decision on some of those sponsorships with some of the outreach events that were happening in July. But it got to the point where it was like, well, I think we missed that boat. So I did make contact with Two Rivers and the North Clark Historical Museum. So Two Rivers, when they came and presented, it was kind of, they have that Heritage Day event in September, I think it's the 17th. So I had inquired about the cost that they incur to put something that like that on, to see if that was something we wanted to help out with, sponsor. So we have that opportunity, as well as if we want to have a kind of presence there, a table like Sarah, you know, went to PSU, and Alex, you were there, something similar where we provide information about the Historic Preservation Program, the app, the commission, and be there as a kind of vendor. So I wanted to see if there was any interest in participating in that or just sponsoring it, because we're definitely going to sponsor it. So I think it's the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Of September.
Which is a Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the
current
part of the neighborhood
cleanup day.
Okay.
So what would we be doing?
We'd probably have some kind of booth table kind of situation. We could have, like with Sarah, we did a poster that kind of showed a variety of sites. We could do one that's specific to East County, about all, you know, those historic sites that are on the register for people to just kind of come by and talk to us about. We'd have, you know, information about the mobile app. I think Sarah had her tablet out there, so she was showing people how it worked. So it's just kind of providing outreach about the program and about the commission.
Well, I'll do it if one of my compatriots will join me, who has more technology than
showed up of me, so you gotta just volunteer, not volunteer. No caveats.
Where is it again?
It's at the museum, right near Pendleton Mills in Washougal.
Do you know if it's all day?
I have the, let's see.
Maybe, I didn't realize how long of a day it was going to be at that archaeological collection thing.
Yes. You were there by yourself, right?
Yeah, I was not there. I mean, I was. But
you said hi and left your partner there.
Yeah. Alex.
Please, they talk to me.
It's a big networking.
Are you getting this to the middle?
Of course.
I also had a soccer game.
It's 11 to 3. How long was the one you did?
Oh, it was like 9 to 3.
Okay.
11 to 3 on the 17th?
Yep.
Any takers?
Well, my suggestion is maybe we do it in shifts this time.
That's a good idea.
If I was there.
2 hour shifts or something.
I just don't have, I would love to show the app, but I don't have a tablet. Like, well, I do have a tablet.
You know, no one actually wanted to look at the app.
Okay.
Really? Yeah.
So there you go.
People that stopped, you know, they talked about what they saw on the poster. I did, like, bring out our little flyers we're handing, you know, just point to, hey, go check out the app. But no one would have stopped and actually wanted to
play with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yep. Do you feel like you had any converts to the preservation cause?
No, I actually have tracked how many people stopped, and I can't remember what I did with that. Did I send that tally to you?
Yeah.
Okay. What was it?
I can't remember. I want to say like 40 people or something.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then I did like how long they actually stopped and talked.
Wow.
I broke it down.
She did some serious metrics.
Yeah, she got the spreadsheet.
But, yeah, so that was, you know, the people that actually talked were like 10 people out of, you know, 8 hours.
And you got to remember that, you know, it was an archaeology roadshow in Portland.
Yeah.
And this will be a little more probably tailor-made for something like the app.
Right.
You know, for people at the Two Rivers, much more local.
Right, and there might be more, people that'll, I would bet more people.
I think more people would,
Well, I do have a tablet. That may be one of my qualifications to represent.
You made nominations here.
So, you want
to? Did you want to join us as well? It's a really good initiation, CD. The first time.
I might be able to do a shift. I would have to check.
Okay. I think shifts is a great idea, because then, you know, you're not stuck your whole day. You can kind of come in, experience it, and someone else can move on. So, but Shell, why don't you be kind of our coordinator?
Okay.
Okay, and
I'll
then we'll Well, I gave you, I emailed you everyone's contact, so you should have that as well. I think hopefully everyone got it. Was it not on the email? All right, my bad. I'll do that. I'll make it back.
No, you sent it. I got it.
You did? Okay. All right.
I've been in New England for 2 weeks, and so I didn't get many things that were dumped on my.
Okay. Personal. Well, so we'll just, I'll kind of work, I'll email you this week. We'll look at the vendor registration and go from there. And we're thinking we sponsor for $500. So everyone cool with that?
What's our budget?
We have $7,000 to spend. So we did the museum's lecture series for 1,000, and so that leads me into our next one. So coming up on Thursday is the Clark County Historical Museum's first Thursday lecture at the Gristmill, and they would like, they were hoping someone would from the commission would be there to, since it's on the register, to be there to talk about the Historic Preservation Program and the commission. And Rock had mentioned that he is interested. So he wants, I got an email from him, he wants more details. Robert also is interested, but you all are welcome to come in and go to that. I think it's gonna be cool. I hope to go.
So it's 11 to 3 on September 17th.
That one, yes. Now we're talking about Thursday.
And Thursday, what's the topic?
It's about the Gristmill.
Oh.
Cedar Creek Gristmill.
That's this Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
And where is that?
In, I think the address is Woodland. But
the
it's kind of...
Yeah, the big Gristmill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts at 7. They have a person giving a presentation that they, you know, maybe if Rock can do it or whoever can stand up, kind of introduce the Historic Preservation Program, the commission. This is on the register. Kind of what Robert did when we sponsored the one for the John Young.
I have an appointment at 7 on Thursday, so unless there's absolutely no other recourse, I can't.
Okay. I think I've got Rock, but I'll, if y'all don't mind, I'll check in with you all if he can, just to kind of gauge to see if anyone's interested to do that. If not, you just come if you want. Sound good?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, immediately nominate.
Okay. The next one is the North Clark Historical Museum. They were the ones that had, I think, their outside outreach event in July. So that's has moved. That's gone. But they do annually a youth art and essay history contest with the school district or the schools in that area. So I checked in, and I thought that might be a good thing for us to get involved in. Maybe one of you all could participate as a judge, review the things that come in, and we could sponsor, because they give, you know, gift cards or something to the winners of the contest. So more info to come on that. I checked with April, who was one of the reps that came from the museum. They're still working with the schools because they have to work with their curriculum, so they don't know exactly when it's going to fall with their history piece of the year or that the fall. So more information to come, but it'll be later on. So I'll give you more information as that comes. But we are thinking, again, $500 to sponsor that, to be a sponsor for that, and to help with, the, I guess, the awards, if that works for you guys.
Do you know which schools?
No.
District?
Well, it's up in North County. I would think Battleground, probably. But I don't know if they just work with kind of what's close to them, like just schools close by to them. I'll know more details soon. She was going to get in touch with me once she contacts them. So.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so think about that and whether or not you might have interest in that.
Did she indicate what the participation rate is on that? I mean, how many essays?
She didn't. She said they've been doing it, she said, for years. So it seems to like it must. Yeah. They must get a good amount that they are willing to do it again.
Yeah.
So I'll ask though when we talk again.
Sign up to read them.
Is it middle school or grade school?
She doesn't say.
but it's mostly.
Yeah, it just says students submit art or essays pertaining to specified historical theme. Winners awarded prizes. And I assume the theme gets set maybe by the schools, on whether it's depending on what they're working on. So, okay. The next thing we have is, so I'm just trying to get through some budget things that we've discussed, you know, beginning last fall, and we have till the end of this year to spend the city funds, and we have about $7,000 left. That's, I put that on your budget update sheet there.
Calendar year?
Yes.
And
so
that's after the two sponsorships of $500, uh-huh. So that $7,000 is our net now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically the city provides a two-year budget, $10,000 a year in the biennium. So the biennium, it will be ending 16. So if the commission doesn't utilize that funds, then it just gets back put back into the city's general fund. And then we'll get a new $10,000, sorry, for 2017. And then there's also $10,000 that's allocated for you all, the commission, for any kind of historical promotion program project that you wanted to do through that historical promotion grant that we no longer can apply for. So there's that too. And if we don't utilize it, it just gets, it stays in that account for the next year. You don't get 20 next year, but it still will go towards historical promotion activities.
So can you give us an example of what that might be?
Well, guys, I mean, and it's pretty, I think whatever you guys wanted to come up with a proposal, I could try to see if that would fly.
App.
What?
like an app.
Like an app, or interpretive panels, or, you know, all kinds of different things. So keep that in mind. I wanted to go, so the things that we at least had on our list of opportunities or ideas was, for direct preservation, was nominating buildings that we would like to see on either the National Register or the Local Register. And we had the gentleman from the center who was really passionate, had started the nomination for the Le Center Hospital, kind of got stuck, wanted some help, and that's when I brought that up. Maybe we could get someone, a historian, to help us with that nomination. So it's the library now, but it's owned by is it Bob Kauf?
The Kauf Foundation.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get in touch with him because we need owner consent. The gentleman that, you know, Mr. Woolridge, who is, wants to do it, told me that he knows them and he says that they want to do it, but I need to have that conversation before we move forward because we need to have owner consent for any nominations. So I haven't heard back from him. Rob, do you have any connections with him?
I talk to both he and Dick
all the time.
So okay, will you check in? They'd definitely be interested.
Okay, cool. I mean, I left him a message at his work, so I don't, you know, I'm sure he's extremely busy, so I don't know how, you know, well, that communication's going to go that way, but yeah, that'd be great. The next thing are plaques. We talked about paying for the National Register nice plaques to put at a few of the buildings that are at least publicly accessible, which would be the Poor Farm, the courthouse, the Kiggins, and maybe the Lupke. So those are around $200 a piece. So,
you know, I was just a week in Halliwell, Maine, which is the place that the abolitionists smuggled slaves to. Anyway, all over the city are these historical posters. And people with their families walk up, take pictures of the house, take pictures of the poster. I watched it, and they call it living history. I took tons of pictures. And I really would love to see something like that here. And I don't know what it would cost, but if we've got money in our budget, I would love to do something like that. And it's,
what was the poster at?
It would just be like, I've got a bunch of them in here, but one was a hospital. In the Civil War. One was
Way Up in Maine. It used to be the hospital.
Yeah, all these old historical houses. And Halliwell, Maine is just a little place in the middle of Maine, but they have an incredible preservation effort going on there. I mean, I toured the city daily, and they actually made a book of Halliwell's vintage preservation homes. It's well done. And that book sells for $50, and they make money from that book to do more preservation. I mean, their citizens are really active, and it's tiny compared to Vancouver. So anyway, it's not nearly as big as the ones we see. These are just, I've got them on my phone, but they're probably about 14 inches wide by 2 feet tall. It shows a picture, and it just goes through the history of the house. I watched families strolling down the river promenade reading these, all of them.
Are they mounted onto the structures, or are they?
No, they're mounted on. They're mounted. I'll get pictures and show you, but they're mounted on like a. Well, some of them were on granite because Halliwell's known for it's got a granite quarry there, but some of them were on steel posts, and they were really effective. I felt like I was spying on Halliwell because families were going up and down reading them, and the kids would be climbing on the sign, but they were getting it. It wasn't the big ones like we have down on the riverfront. I think those are a little much for residential areas. They were very tasteful, very well done. The houses all, even the houses that weren't on their registers, had the plaques. So it looked very vintage and uniform. It looked great.
So are you thinking like of our just kind of houses that are around the county or... Mm-hmm. More
I
of
want,
a downtown.
You know,
kind of
my mission is to bring the children up and
okay.
make them all. I keep preservation efforts like
uh-huh.
preserving jazz. I think it would be really good if we could fund, and I think we fund them. And we can approach, and I'll be out there, approach with some letters, whatever you want. But I think we should fund these living history posters. They're not terribly big. And talk about the history so that if people don't have a phone. And the other thing I noticed, my friend Jim there, he's a Harvard professor, he was saying that Halliwell is the most liberal area in Maine. And he said that and because of that, a lot of people from New England retire in Halliwell. So there's a tremendous number of retirees in Halliwell, Maine. And they aren't maybe necessarily tech savvy. Jim doesn't text. So the app kind of appeals to the younger crowd. But I think these living history posters is what we need to get the elderly and the super young. I really want us to look into that because I saw how effective it was.
Yeah, I think I could see that happening, but you would almost have to have a certain density of those kinds of things to make it a cohesive, like, tour kind of thing.
Districts that we have.
Right.
I don't think it was cohesive. It was kind of every fifth house had something.
But that's what we mean.
Yeah.
That's way more than like, you know, props for a house and then 3 miles away or, you know, somebody else's house or, you know, countywide.
Sounds like it was walkable.
It was walkable. But there were places that you had to drive to. And it was a lot of them were along the riverfront. But they also had them in front of, it's a library, and it looks very much like a Gothic church with a, it had quite a history because a train ended up through the front doors. I mean, and they had pictures of all of it, and so that was kind of on the main drag. But then I went and I would walk the dogs off the main drags, and they were sort of all over the place. And maybe we could start it in the historical overlay, or maybe we could start it, you know, in a certain neighborhood that has a lot of historical houses and see. Because I think that is an effective way to not only teach about our history and our cultural resources, but to sort of inculcate this love for the younger and the older generation who are not going to have phones. Just my 2 cents.
John, with like a city neighborhood, some of our neighborhoods that have more historic homes in it, do you think that's something?
You know, they're few and far between, actually.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, we've got a lot of things that are, they could be on the historic register.
Potentially eligible.
Eligibility.
Yeah.
They have eligibility, but there's not all that many.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of the houses are World War II era.
Yeah.
Kaiser Shipyard.
What about downtown? Kauffman Avenue has quite a bit.
Yeah, but there's not that many that are actually on the register. We'd have to go back through and take a look.
We're been formally determined eligible.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like we've got, do you want to fund the Arneda neighborhood to do theirs?
Arneda has Physicians Road.
Well, Arneda has an eligibility, Holly, like I
don't know, Chamberlain.
Chamberlain, so I don't say Holly Gilbert now, which is in Columbia. Was put together some stuff, and there, like several years ago, we were looking to try to figure out a way to do that, and we don't have the funds.
To do the inventory, or?
Yeah, just check it out. Review it.
Okay. That might be a good grant for the CLG grant. They definitely would, they want to fund that kind of thing. So
let me take a look at that.
I know the issue was always with staffing at the city side to manage it, but maybe there's a better way.
Yeah.
Robert and I took a class up at Lake Chelan, and it was basically on the north side of Seattle, is a very small little city. I'm drawing a blank, I stayed there. But they got a very modest grant. And it was like $7,000, and they brought in citizens, and they mapped that entire. Yeah. I mean, it was really comprehensively done.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, the city's done that. It took a city staffer to kind of manage it, train the volunteers, and do kind of be the project manager. And when they downsized a lot of staff, there's no one there that could take on that kind of effort. But if maybe the grant's written in a way that there's a project manager that does everything outside of the city.
Yeah, we'd have to take a look at that. Yeah.
People took pictures of the properties with their phones, sent them in, talked to the homeowners if they could. I mean, they mapped the whole, they showed a big map.
Yeah.
We were impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And it saved properties.
Well, talking kind of where you were going, Shel, with like these, I mean, I know Jan is always interested in doing more interpretive panels in the downtown area, so that's also an option that we could do. I mean, you know, we had the ones at Kiggins and a couple recently, the Heritage, with the tree.
Turtle Place.
The tree. The Wish. The
tree,
something.
The
UN
tree?
The meeting tree?
Some tree.
What is the tree?
The witness tree.
The witness tree.
Yeah. Is that the one down my room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've talked
about that.
That's right, exactly. That's the beginning of the city. So there was also the courthouse doing something down there. I think she had a couple other options that we could potentially do. We have, you know, it's kind of all we need to do is get the thing written and pictures and things, but the machine's kind of. Yeah, so there's
to keep that.
Maybe when she gets back, we can have a conversation about what she had in mind and maybe utilize some of the funds if you decide to do it on things like that, because those we can probably get going quickly. That works.
Can we vote about the plaques tonight?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, I move that we fund National Register or National Register plaques for the Kiggins, the Lukey, the courthouse, and the poor farm.
I second the motion.
I think we have a first and we have a second. We want to have a discussion on this item.
Oh.
No, we don't.
I have a question.
Yeah. We can have a discussion. Yeah.
Are the plaques often funded through the commission?
We've never done plaques before. We do. The city will pay for the local register plaques for city properties, and the county will pay for the local register plaques. But they're more like for interior. They don't do well outside. So these would be those official ones that the National Register authorizes and can be outside. So the courthouse, the poor farm's been on the register for 4 years. I don't see the county ponying it up yet. So this is a great way for people to know that this is, you know, a nationally designated site and kind of raise awareness of it. So,
and you know, says the criteria under which it was nominated.
That was one of my next two questions. Are very many of the properties that are on the list plaqued? Because as I look around, I don't see a lot of plaques.
No, and that's these are sort of more of the commercial, higher visibility ones.
Mm-hmm.
What about Lukey?
We did.
Yeah.
Did you have
national? Yeah.
They got on the national.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Those were not one. That's the meeting one.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I know they were one.
Yeah. We had, there was just one other that went on the national recently, but it's a farm kind of out, and it's not public, so I'd kind of concentrate in on places that people can actually access and visit. Cool. Any other questions?
The last of my questions, I think it's the last one. So are all of them, so the Biggs building, I forget what its real name is, but where Biggs Insurance is now, that one's plaqued, and the plaque is all about the law that it was designated under, and nothing about the building. It's very frustrating for someone going by, because I would rather have information about the building than about the act that authorized its listing.
It's so, funny you mention that. I just walked by that building and noticed the plaques on there, and my thought was, this isn't a National Register plaque like I've seen before. In fact, it says Biggs, and I mean, he has like, it's like a promotion for the business that's currently in there on one of the other plaques facing the other direction.
Mm-hmm. No, this is on Main?
Yeah, and it's not on the post.
It's mounted on the brick wall, North South Street, and I forget which street that is. I've only been here for 7 years. But the entire plaque is about the Preservation Act of 1964 that authorized this designation. So with these plaques would be Would name the building and maybe a date or some actual pertinent information.
Yeah, usually they have the date that it was nominated and the reason. You know, provides an excellent example of architecture and the style.
I think it depends. So, like the size, right? Like the smaller ones, I think just say it's been listed on the National Register by the Department of Interior. Name of the building and the year, but you can get ones that do that and also give a more description of why it's significant. So it's just going to cost more. So like I think the regular custom ones where you put the name on it, that's what they call custom, with kind of the normal 11x8 size is around $200. If you get into the one I see here, and maybe there's other examples, they call a roadside marker because it has more of that description, can be more in the $1,000 because it's all etched and bigger. So,
she's pictures. We like pictures. Mm-hmm. What about the Slocum House?
I think that already has some.
I think it does too. I'm just kind of thinking we might want to amend this motion.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is that could we take a look at these things?
So you want some examples?
One with the basic information and one with the more like details.
Yeah, and I kind of want to know what this means by roadside marker.
Can we look at it now? I'd like to get.
Sure. Yeah, I'll pass this around, but I'll send it out to you guys.
Well, that's just an estimate. It's not gonna be a final.
No, right. This is just, there's some images of some examples and costs. But yeah, you want to see some real things next?
Yeah, table this.
Okay.
But what if we, okay, I like getting things done here. This is my son.
Well, I think that we are getting something done. Because we agreed that we want costs. We just haven't agreed on what type.
Which kind, yes.
I'm really happy to keep it.
What do you like? So,
architecture.
I guess officially, are we going to withdraw the motion? Or table.
What's the Roberts rule on this?
Roberts rule.
There's really that big of a price difference on these because they're like 8x11, 8x. They're almost all 8x11.
I think you have to vote on the motion and then ask for a new motion.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've had a motion and a second, and we've had discussion on whether or not we would like to sponsor $200 plaques for the four registered buildings. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. What do we?
Until we can figure out what.
Which pie?
No shopping.
That's, I mean, it's a good discussion to have, because if you want some more, like those interpretive panels we provide for an area, if you want this on a plaque, it's on the building, and you want to say why it's significant, then, you know, you guys should talk about that and the cost involved in that. Because you have the budget to
yeah,
do
well,
it.
Yeah, you know, we come back and we say, well, we'd like a fancier plaque, and we can, now we only really want to spend $2,000 because we have other plans for later.
Yeah.
That's significant discussion.
And I'll contact one of these places and get a specific...
And do we know that all the owners of these properties are
okay with it?
Okay with this,
I know,
especially if they're mounting on the structure itself.
Right, and we'd have to kind of deal with that. Yeah,
okay.
I will. I'll check with the county, and I'll, when Jan gets back, I'll have her check in with for the Kiggins and Lupke.
Okay.
All right. So
okay. Well, good. So more on that. Okay, that was one. I mean, we've been working on that. We've had send people to conferences this year. There's, I think, Jan's going to Houston. That's the National Preservation Conference. But I think the ones that are really beneficial are the National Association, National Alliance for Preservation Commissions, which is every other year. So it was already this year. That's what Robert just was. But they also do these camps. Sean, do you know anything about those? The NAPC, they hold these camps, and they're like a one-day kind of everything under preservation commissions that you deal with training. And I looked at their website because I was hoping to see if they had their 2017 calendar and where, because they go all over the country. So they did not come out here at all last year to the Northwest. So I sent an email to see if they have their calendar and whether or not there's anything coming this way, because I think I've always heard that it's a great training, and I think it would be beneficial since we've got a couple of new members, and I'm always up for some more in-depth training. So I'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, we were thinking maybe we could do something with DAP, Department of Archaeology staff coming down, and maybe, you know, doing something down here locally. So I wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts or ideas or anything you wanted to see happen on kind of training or just outreach.
Do you remember last fall? And I think Robert and I were the only ones that went, but we had the DAP came down, the architect.
Yeah.
Very informational. I really enjoyed that. He's a great speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to do that again, especially since we have new people, and Sarah wasn't there, and you weren't there. Were you there?
I've sat through Michael Hauser's presentation a few times.
I thought it was very good.
Is it?
It was good, yeah, it's good. So I've been to his presentation.
He said he could come back and make it about anything you wanted.
Right, and that might be good for our just an outreach on nominating properties, or maybe like Sharon and I were talking about, you know, the more mid-century stuff that's now becoming eligible, that maybe we need to kind of do some more education about, so that property owners know that and think about that. So keep that.
Yeah, no, he's done a lot with mid-century commercial properties in terms of promoting their preservation. I would be interested in, you know, the mid-century sort of vernacular housing, the mass-produced World War II era housing that tends to dominate here. I mean, a lot of those houses are aging out of usefulness, and I feel like we're going to be left with this conundrum of, I mean, technically it's eligible. I mean, you know, meeting the minimum age requirement, but, you know, they're dime a dozen until they suddenly aren't around. And, you know, is there some sort of policy stance or idea in terms of how to treat these? I mean, I know that one on my block just got torn down, and its replacement is very large.
You're in Card Park? I think I know which one you're talking about.
Go up to Lincoln. It's only a block and a half away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was that article in the Columbian. People are looking for smaller homes, apparently.
Right, they're not getting built.
No.
Yeah, so those World War II era
houses, those cottages
are getting smashed up.
Mm-hmm. True.
Tiny houses.
Well, that's the thing. The only small houses getting built are those tiny houses, but not the houses in the 950 to 1250 square foot range.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're an ADU on somebody else's property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also
true.
So one of the staff on that staff issue with the training and outreach to other cities was kind of the idea where I kind of dumped on you with that article. But my hope is that, you know, that article might get some of them to actually phone us and say, yes, come to our city.
Yes, yeah, and I think I definitely want to get that going. Not only the cities, but the county. We have a bunch of new permit techs that I've never spoke to about it. They know they get the flag and my name is on it to call, but they don't really know what they're, you know, should be looking for, questions to ask. So that is something that I want to do on a staff level for sure. And that article should probably at least also help. But I brought it up to all the planning directors earlier this summer when we had our joint city-county planning meeting.
Oh.
And they were all like, yeah, totally. So I need to move forward with that now that summer's kind of coming to an end and people are backing around. And yes.
Yeah.
So keep on me on that,
okay.
Sarah.
Well,
yeah.
Is there something similar within this area for real estate agents? As far as a lot of real estate agents don't realize that a listed property is actually a mandatory disclosure.
Yeah. That, you know, we talked about doing more of kind of an outreach generic of historic preservations, but focusing on a profession or, you know, speaking to the Clark County Association of Realtors is a great idea. And we haven't really come up with that one yet, so that's a good one to also. You? Are you a member of that? Would you? Okay, cool. So yeah, if you guys think of any other specific groups that we should be reaching out to, just let me know.
I do think it does not get routinely disclosed, and it shouldn't until the title report shows it. So, and a lot of that's not so much, it's just they don't know better. So I think education would be a good thing here.
Yeah. We know we're really well on campus.
Yeah.
We just did an outreach evening at the public library, and most of them were homeowners that showed up. There was like maybe a few people in the crowd that had businesses, you know, had a commercial structure, and I'm pretty sure that we had at least two follow-ups from that meeting, and it had like what, 30 people show up probably.
Yeah,
which is a really great. You know, that's why I guess I'm sticking with it. It's like we need to do another one, but you know, some other, you know, go up to the center.
And it's kind of, so it's like you're outreaching to hopefully property owners, right? That so you can get them listed, and then your other piece is the, you know, stakeholders like city staff and real estate agents to, you know, educate them on what it means so that when they're doing their work, they know what to look for. So
I'd say that there's benefits and there's these programs, and so they can start to advocate for us.
Yeah.
Kind of along those lines, Richfield. You know, a lot of the farms are getting going away for housing developments. And what to do with those farm structures, farmsteads. I mean, that, you know, together they make up a property that's disappearing from the landscape, barns and silos and whatnot. So
wherever that roundabout is on the main drive, there's that beautiful Queen Anne farmhouse that gone blue. Glass panel windows. I cry.
Okay.
It's gone one day.
It's gone.
Yeah,
down there.
It's gone.
It's a
kind
of funky
right
out
there.
The window. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that house.
Yeah,
it's not surprising.
It's a lovely structure.
Yeah, sad day.
There's another opportunity with education. The University of Oregon is moving their preservation program to Portland from Eugene, and so there's going to be a whole bunch more preservation grad students and some undergrads just across the river. And so that creates an opportunity both for, hey, this is how a commission actually works. Here's the boots on the ground sort of situation. It might be like that in Portland. Here's another view. But it's also a potential workforce for partnering with the university if there's an inventory or research or anything like that that might be interested in pursuing grad students or cheap labor.
For sure. I love that idea. Cool.
And we could write wonderful letters of recommendation to further their education.
That's right.
And you know, I think that another thing that we can consider for budget is, you know, when I was doing my review of the ordinance, it was light. I can only read that stuff so in depth. But I noticed that the purview of the commission is limited to the stated significance on the nomination. And a lot of nominations are woefully incomplete, just in general. You know, either they were very brief to start with, or our understanding of the significance of the site has changed over time. You know, we're maybe now to the point where the perspective of significance might go beyond just the dead white guys who, you know, who were the focus of the original nomination. So I think it could be very interesting to take a look back at some of the older, and you know, maybe it's a matter of triaging the nominations, the listings based on age and completeness, to revisit them and see if maybe a few could be updated every year, because the only protection that those structures are afforded are the stated significance in those nominations. And that could also be a way to do a spotlight on, you know, we've got a refreshed view of these things, and it could be a spotlight for research, for outreach, or for putting, you know, that kind of educational material outside or in the app.
Yeah.
So another thing to consider.
I like it. Great.
This is why we have fresh
work. I know, right? So, anything else on kind of outreach and training? I'll go ahead and kind of start moving then on city and reaching out to not only just the cities, like the downtown associations, on getting maybe presentations scheduled for city property owners that are interested, but also I'll work on start working with the city planning departments on working with the staff. So, I'll move forward with that, and I'll keep you updated. You don't need to, I don't think, make an action on it or anything. Is there anything else that you all want to talk about related to the budget?
No, if those things are going to be, you know, like a presentation for city staff or for realtors, it'd be good to just record them. Make them available for people whenever they want to view them.
That's a good idea. We have potentially access to like CVTV if I could get it approved. If we could record, get them to city.
You know, yeah, a two pager for real estate agents or for city staff.
A little tool.
This is what it means.
Right.
This is what the Preservation Commission means to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got these pictures. Do you want me to send them to you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Not very good pictures because I took them, but I've got a bunch of them. There's a whole bajillion. And there's one that I just love. The Museum in the Streets is what they called the program, and it had like a Civil War. Oh, this building was called the Liberator because it's where the abolitionist movement was. So anyway, these are some of the plaques that were in front. It's called Museum in the Streets, and people would just kind of walk around and read these, and even in the most strange places, I saw these, and I was kind of hooked on. I think it's kind of a spotting thing. Oh, there's one.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and send those to me, and if you want me to share them, I'll forward them around.
Do our own Preservation Go.
Yeah, I want that one.
Yeah, Jamal.
I think so.
That's right, Pokemon. I like it.
That's brilliant.
I think that is all I had for that.
Yeah, I want them to see it. I'm going to pass my phone around. You're welcome to look through there. There's a whole bunch of them there. I was so impressed.
They said
Gettysburg didn't even have it like that. Gettysburg was a whole different quality.
Yes, this is, I just wanted to, if you, I was kind of offering it to send it to you if you want it. So, I probably presented on it last year. It was a Section 106 replacement of the Cedar Creek Bridge in Woodland. So that's a county bridge that needed to be replaced. It is eligible for National Register listing. So they did an MOA through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and the mitigation document was provided to me at the end of June, which is a level 2 documentation on the bridge and the engineer that designed it and things like that. So send me an email or let me know tonight if you would like a copy of it. I'll email it to you. Or
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it. Okay. I'll just send it to all of us.
Okay, I will send it out.
I probably need to recuse myself.
Okay, okay.
And send one to Robert.
Okay. You can probably get it now. It's done.
Oh, okay.
It's just like the report, the okay. mitigation document.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else in old business and updates that I don't have on the agenda that anyone wants to add? Okay. New business, we are going to go ahead and table the chair elections till September so that Rock and Robert can be here. So think about who you want to nominate. Let people know if you want to be. So think about that. And then roundtable. Anything anyone wants to share going on? Okay. Alex, anything going on in your world?
I think if they're moving from Eugene to Portland, we should maybe think about the cheap workforce if we have some extra money. Because one of the things that keeps coming up to the commission is the research hasn't been done. So then we can't document it, so then we can't support it in the nomination. And I think if we have this kind of resource just across the river, in tandem with having $7,000, $10,000, plus we have the preservation project money, I think we should capitalize on the moment to save our heritage.
Definitely.
Like they have a new department head.
Okay.
That I don't think has been announced yet.
Okay.
But I know they were doing a search for it.
But he
did not get it.
Okay. So Sean, you're kind of in the loop there, hearing about it. Okay,
yeah.
So share with us, and then I'll, you know, make sure everyone gets it.
I'll double check and see. You know, since I went to school there, see if any of my old professors can tell me where they are on things.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay.
All right. So we don't have any public here, so seeing no public, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I second that one. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Under an hour, look at us.
Nice.